Welcome back. We're talking with Camille Dublasi, and if you would like to get a hold of her, if you'd like her to speak at your event, if you'd like more information on Life Principles, you can call her at 877-345-LIFE. That's 877-345-LIFE. You can go to her website, www.lifeprinciples.net. Lifeprinciples.net. That phone number, once again, 877-345-LIFE. Hope you get a lot of response. I think you're going to get a lot of response.
I sure hope so.
If I wasn't here, I'd call you.
People standing by.
We do have a question right here in the coffee shop. Gabe.
Hey, I was wondering, going back to the euthanasia question, a lot of people would choose euthanasia to help others get out of a suffering situation. But how, in a practical way, could I reach out to someone to let them know that suffering, you know, to deal with suffering?
Mm-hmm.
She hit it right on the head there.
Very good question, because remember, the way you view happiness is going to interpret the way you view suffering, too. Level one suffering, mm-hmm. worthless, mm-hmm. completely meaningless if I think life is pleasure and possession. Level two suffering is the idea that if I can bring it under my control and it can make me stronger, then suffering has meaning. But once I begin to lose my abilities, then suffering is meaningless. Janet Adkins, right, the first victim of Kevorkian, who discovered she had Parkinson's disease. She was in the beginning of stages of it. She had many years to go. But right when she discovered she was starting to lose her tennis game against her son, she sought the help of Jack Kevorkian and had him kill her.
She couldn't achieve anymore.
Level two happiness, right? Level three view of suffering, which is that suffering is good when it can bring me out of myself to help other people. But what happens to the person who's given and given and given, and now I'm laid up in a hospital bed with 6 months left of life to give. I'm sitting there every day, and I'm lonely, and I'm bored, and I can't give beyond myself anymore. That's where suffering four is needed. And suffering four all of a sudden brings the redemptive aspect of suffering to come alive. The big problem with our culture on suffering is that we don't understand suffering. We're afraid of it. We run away from it. We're afraid of people who suffer. We don't want to be by them because it makes us think of our own suffering. And when we encounter suffering, we don't understand it. We think that it's either a punishment from God or a test from God. That may or may not be true. But love and suffering are not opposed. They are quite compatible. Because it is in our moments of weakness that God can sometimes point to himself as the greatest hope. And so what happens is we've actually, to answer your question, we've created a program called Being With. Well, actually, we just started. It doesn't really exist as a program yet, but we're in the testing stages. That's right. What I did one day was we sat down at lunch and I read a newspaper article about how patients used to request euthanasia for pain. But now we've discovered that 99.9% of all pain is controllable. And the 1.1% that's not, we can control within tolerable limits. And laws are being passed to help, help doctors learn pain control, and doctors are being trained. And the second reason was depression. When somebody was depressed and couldn't understand their suffering, it would be terrible, and they would request euthanasia. But now we know how to diagnose depression and how to cure the depression, bring it under control. The third reason now, people say, I'm not in pain and I'm not depressed, but I feel unappreciated, and I don't really feel like I can give. So I thought, there's a hospital across the street from where I work. I went there one day, and I said, I would like to be with your patients who suffer the most. And they thought, okay, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know, there's two types of love. There's doing for, where we give to other people. We build a house, we give you things. And then there's being with love, where I don't have to do anything. I can just be present to you, look at you, smile, talk, a touch, right? Just the presence of another being loving you and appreciating you.
No.
I said, that's the kind of love I want. And that's the kind of love that's very underemphasized. Our culture thinks, you know, if I can't do anything for you anymore, your life maybe isn't worth living and maybe it's time to die now. But we lose out on the being with love, the kind of love where you can go to somebody and say, thank you. I know this sounds odd to somebody who doesn't have level four faith. Thank you so much for suffering and allowing me the opportunity to come alive in love. What does the word compassion mean? It's got a Latin root, cum passio.
With
passio means to suffer, the passion of Christ, right? The sufferings of Christ. Cum passio means to suffer with. How do you suffer with somebody you've just killed? You can't. To suffer with means to be there with the person in their suffering. And so the one point of the Being With Project is to get people all over the country, no matter what your education, no matter what your faith, no matter what your experience, to go into the hospital and be a Being With volunteer, where you go up to patients and say, basically, not maybe in these words, thank you so much. I appreciate you in your suffering. Mm-hmm. I will do everything I can to try to stop your suffering and to ease your suffering. But I will not kill you, and I will not lead you to despair, because without you here, I would not know the meaning of the words compassion, care, concern, gift of self.
And what you're talking about isn't just in a book, which we hear, has a book here called Healing the Culture,
yes.
That you're one of the co-writers.
Yes, a whole chapter in there on suffering, as a matter of fact.
Really? Mm-hmm. And we want to let people know about the book, Healing the Culture, and you can printed by Ignatius, and you can get a hold of this through Life Principles. You're not just talking about life principles. You've seen this work.
I have seen it work. I've seen it in the hospital. I'll tell you a little story if we have time for it.
You got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, I went to the hospital one day and sat next to a guy, I call him Mr. Watson. And Mr. Watson was a man who talked all about himself and how level two great he was. And he was about 80 years old and had a heart attack. And I listened for about an hour and I got kind of bored. And I said, thank you, Mr. Watson. I've got to go see other people now. And I started to leave. He grabbed my arm and he said, please don't leave. I need you. I don't want anything else from you but your presence.
Wow.
And I sat back down. I said, whoa, what's wrong? Well, it turns out that Mr. Watson felt like a burden. He said, you don't know what it's like to be in a hospital where the doctors and the nurses, these people with PhDs and with doctor, you know, MDs, have to sit there and take care of me. They have to feed me and bathe me and clothe me and toilet me and take care of me in my stinkiness and in my ugliness and in my decrepitness. You don't know how bad that feels. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hit me, and I said, Mr. Watson, don't you know that your job is more important than anybody else's job in this whole hospital with all their MDs and PhDs? Don't you know that your suffering and your neediness calls them alive to love, and that love is the most important thing in the world, and that without you, they wouldn't get that opportunity? His eyes got this big, and he said, you're right. My job is the most important job in this whole hospital. And I said, yes, it is. And I gave him a little rock in the shape of a heart. I said, this represents God's heart. Every time you forget that, you squeeze this little heart to remember that your job came from God who loves you unconditionally. A week later, I went back to the hospital. He wasn't there. But a nurse flagged me down and she said, I don't know what you did to that guy, Mr. Watson, but every time we saw him after that, all he ever did was squeeze this little rock. That's all he ever did. And he was always talking about his important job. And that difference made the difference between life and death for Mr. Watson, because he was on his way out. And about 4 weeks later, I got a call from him who said, thank you for saving my life, because now I have a reason to live.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. We only have a couple minutes left. I wish we could have another hour together, because I find this so fascinating. In the couple minutes we have left, what would you say to our young viewers, high school students, college students, where they're at right now? They're studying, they're thinking about going to college, they're thinking about a major, what they're going to do with their life. What would you say to them concerning these four levels?
On my cell phone, it gives you the opportunity when you turn it on that you can put a little message on it, like hello or good morning. Mine says, do everything for God. That's the message that I would give you. Learn how to properly order those four levels of happiness in your life by practice. And don't be afraid of failure. We will fall because it's the natural habit of human beings to want the physical pleasure and the ego high. Be easy on yourself. But remember that all of those are not meant as goods in and of themselves. They're all meant for the sake of one thing, happiness. What is ultimate happiness? Basically, giving my life over and surrender to God. So one thing I would teach is to learn how to balance all of those levels of happiness to experience true joy. And the second thing is, share it with your friends. They're easy to remember. Four simple levels. If you can't remember them, call that toll-free number. We'll give you a little card that you can even give to your friends. They're really cheap because they're just little cards. You give them out to your friends. Share the message with them.
Camille, it's been great.
God bless you.
Love to have you back in the future. And we'll go on to levels... We'll talk about something else. I mean, I could stay here for the rest of my life just talking about this. It's been good.
Well,
it's been challenging. And
we'll go out afterwards and have some level one coffee and donuts and discuss level three, four love.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Folks, I want to thank Camille for being here. And I want to challenge you, and not so much challenge you, but encourage you to really take a look at where your life is at. Where are you going today? Maybe you just tuned in. You're wondering, why did I stay with this program the whole hour? I've never watched religious programming. I've never seen Life on the Rock or EWTN before. Are you at a point where all you're looking for is the physical pleasure? The minute you have pain, you'll reach despair because it doesn't make sense anymore. Is all your life about achievement, ego, popularity, but yet you're empty? Are you even giving outside of yourself to a few people, but you find that you're still discouraged, that there's still a dead end? God wants you to enter into the life of the Trinity. You can only do that through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Give your life to Jesus today. Give your whole life to Him today. He loves you very much. God bless you. See you next week.
Within the breath.